see anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You've got a death curse!
He was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the Sinister Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I'm the other guy, the Joe Jans guy.
Hey, you're switching it up.
Well, I sort of forgot what to say. And I am also your host. That's what it is. Or Joe Jans.
I'm one of your hosts, Matt Speak, and you're. And I'm
also one of,
also one of your. Is that how it goes?
I don't remember. So. God, if we only had like 180 previous recordings, we could go back and check it.
We could figure it out. Yeah. Oh God, we do have a lot of recordings, huh?
We have 126 before night.
That's getting up there, Joe.
Yeah.
126 episodes. This is episode
at the big 130.
Yeah, 127. Let's see, 130 will be September, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah.
And our big 5-year anniversary is coming up this October. And we're hoping to have some special guests. We were hoping to have a special guest tonight. And once again, Mark Piscati, the super fan, backed out.
A better offer.
Yeah. And so here we are. It's just Joe and I, and then we'll get pummeled because our other host didn't show up.
Yeah, because it's so boring with just the two guys.
Exactly. Oh my God. Mark was supposed to be here tonight. Joe even had a special game to play and everything. And it's my birthday week and Mark's birthday week. It was going to be a big bonanza celebration. And now he texts us this afternoon. Sorry guys, I can't come in. I'm like, Jesus.
I actually had something special planned for Mark's birthday, but now, you know.
Yeah.
No, I have to wait till next year.
I know. So.
I was going to show him my junk and everything.
Oh, he's already seen that. Again?
Yeah, but this time I won't make him beg.
Yeah. So, those of you listeners are, you know, to you guys, we have not skipped a beat. We've had
oblivious.
An episode come out every 2 weeks, basically, except for 4th of July. We skipped a week. But we have not recorded an episode, Joe and I, since July or June, early June. way back. And so it's all new to us again. It's all brand new. Did you go anywhere fun over the summer, Joe?
I went to New York.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was pretty damn fun. Yeah. Mm. I enjoyed that. Got to see plenty of things. Statue of Liberty, 9/11 memorial. Took the 30 Rockefeller NBC Studios tour. Oh. Got to see Studio 8H, where they filmed Saturday Night Live. Got to see Jimmy Fallon's studio. Got to record.
Oh.
Part of the trip. Part of the tour, I should say, is after they've given you the tour of all the studios, you go into a replica studio, like Jimmy Fallon's talk show type thing. And they ask everybody in your tour group to take a part. And oddly enough, nobody wanted to be the Higgins role, you know, the intro of the show.
Oh.
So I stepped up and I did. I introduced our guests and our hosts. It was pretty fun.
Nice.
It's like I had previous experience doing such a thing.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. And I saw several things on Broadway. If anybody gets the chance to see a show called Dead Outlaw, it was fantastic. Very bizarre concept and way too in depth for me to get into on this show. But if you ever see that one's coming to your neighborhood, go see it.
Is it a play or a musical?
It is a musical, very unconventional musical.
Hmm.
Yeah. Although if you really do, well, look it up if you're that interested.
Yeah. Look it up.
I wouldn't do it service anyway. And then I saw, pertaining to our particular show, I saw Stranger Things.
Oh, the musical. Broadway. Oh, yeah. Is it good?
Not a musical, straight play.
Oh, it is, huh?
But it is beautiful to watch because the special effects are absolutely out of this world. No pun intended. There's like a jump scare at the end. I was like, holy shit. Like it was like watching something that like Disney would have put on. The special effects were that good. Highly recommend it.
How long was it? Like a full play or
2.5 hours?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. With an intermission. But yeah, we're well worth the price of admission. We saw the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child there too. Special effects were good, but not nearly as good as the Stranger Things one. We also saw Death Becomes Her.
Oh,
which that's cool. A musical, and that was just downright fun. That was probably my favorite thing that we saw.
Oh,
wonderful! The music, the pageantry, the whole nine yards. It was just superb. So New York was fun. New York was a blast. I highly recommend it. Everybody that's in New York right now that walks around on Times Square, I'd like to ask one favor, please bathe. Cause they certainly didn't when I was there, the smells were atrocious. There were way too many people, but outside of that, New York was, I'm very glad that we went. So
had you ever been to New York?
I had been to New York probably 6-7 years ago. But it was just prior to my wife having back surgery.
Oh.
And we got there and things started to flare up in her back. She could not walk. It was a very boring, painful trip. Oh. And we got to enjoy like none of it. So this was like our makeup, our redo. And loved it.
Oh.
So we had a wonderful time.
Oh, that's good. Good.
So I think you went places as well.
I did. I went to Lake Tahoe, which is kind of our, we kind of do it every other year, though we might go again next year. Our dog died like just a few days before we left. And so the whole trip, even I look back on it, we were all kind of just in a daze a little bit. So it wasn't its usual fun time. It was kind of heavy. It was nice to get away and we tried to distract ourselves and everything, but it wasn't, you know, a great time, I guess, to go. But you know, Tahoe is just absolutely beautiful. So we had a good time anyway. And then a couple weeks ago, we went to Oregon and visited a friend of mine who lives up there. I go there a couple times a year, probably now that he's moved up there and it's just gorgeous. Oregon is so beautiful. So, and he lives in wine country. So we did a lot of wine tasting and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. And, the other thing I do want to say, Michelle, my wife, she's an artist and she has some art in, an exhibit for Over the Garden Wall, which is a show that, I guess it's a cartoon series, that has become a bit of a cult classic. And it was the woman who the gallery is Sugar Mint Gallery, which is an art gallery that is right behind the Myers house, the original Myers house from 1978 Halloween. And so a lot of their stuff is horror based or Halloween based, whatever. And so they have a lot of horror based art exhibits. And Michelle has been doing some art in for their exhibits this year. And so she had three pieces in this show and she sold out. She sold all three of her originals and sold out, the prints that she had there numerous times. In fact, she had to keep making more copies of her prints. So if you want to check it out, Michelle Speak Art is her handle on Instagram. Check out her art. And you'll see her Over the Garden Wall stuff, but she sold all three of her, of the originals that she had, her oil paintings. And so she's gearing up. They're having another art show in September. I think it starts September 6th and runs through the 31st. And that is, Haddonfield Memories, I believe is what it's called or something like that. Let me look. It's actually, 10 years of Haddonfield. So this gallery has been behind the Myers house for 10 years now. And so this is their celebration of Haddonfield. And so Michelle has, I think she's got 3 or 4 pieces in that exhibit, and they're really cool. There's one especially that she's working on right now that is, yeah, I think she has 4, and 3 smaller ones and 1 big one. And the big one is really cool. So I'm excited to have everybody see it when it's completed. She's working on it right now, but that'll be September 6th through October 31st at Sugar Mint Gallery in Pasadena. So if you are in the LA area, definitely check it out. And if you're there, they're still doing Over the Garden Wall for, I think, a couple more weeks. So go ahead and go there and check out all the art. And then our movie on Halloween night is playing at Midsummer Scream. They have a film festival going on. It's a horror and Halloween convention, Midsummer Scream, but they also have a film festival as part of it. And so our movie will be playing in the 1 o'clock time slot, along with some other, our category is Halloween themed horror shorts. And so we, and a few other, I don't know how many other shorts are set at Halloween. So our movie is, and so we'll be playing there in the 1 o'clock, I think it's 1 o'clock, 1:30, somewhere in there time slot at Midsummer Scream. So go check it out. It's a lot of fun. And there's always, I've looked over the movies that are also going to be at playing, you know, all day long. There'll be tons of shorts. And there's some really good ones. I've seen them in the past at Midsummer Scream, and there's some really, really, I had a friend who had a movie, a short in this festival, and there's some really good ones. So please stop by, check it out. Come and see us. We'll be there on Saturday, August 15th. So it's coming up. I guess this episode comes out on Friday the 8th. And so it'll be the following weekend, Midsummer Scream. So, and there's tons of, from when I looked at the guest list for the convention itself, like everybody from Halloween is going to be there, including John Carpenter. I don't know about Jamie Lee Curtis, but like tons of other people will be there. And they always have, like, you know, I saw Kane Hodder there 1 year, and they always have big guests there. It's a major festival here, so, or convention, I guess. And I think that's all the business. So, Joe, over the summer, can you care to touch upon any movies that you saw? I imagine we might have seen many of the same ones.
Did we already? I just can't remember where we left off. Did we already talk about Final Destination Bloodlines?
No.
Oh. Hands down, my most fun movie of the year so far. I absolutely loved it. And then, like an idiot, not only did I see it in the theaters, but then I saw it was coming for rental at home. And I think they were having a sale. I ended up buying it for like $12.
Hmm.
And then a week later, it's on HBO Max.
It is. Yeah, HBO Max has been bringing them out fast.
Yeah, they've been gobbling them up and serving them out quickly.
Yeah.
But that was fantastic. I actually made my wife watch that one with me, and she was laughing through most of it. It was fun. I had a blast.
Yeah, I saw it too. I'm not a big fan of that series, but it is fun. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but I did enjoy it. It was yeah. there were some fun bits. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't have lots that I can say that were horror related that I watched because I was taking advantage of our vacation.
Yeah.
And watching other things. I will say I did play a lot of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 on the Switch 2.
Nice.
Which is just absolutely awesome. As a matter of fact, I was playing right before we started recording. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch a whole lot either. I mean, throughout, for given how long we were not here, I didn't watch that much, but I did catch up on a couple movies yesterday and today. I guess I'll go back. Let me see. I don't know if I talked about Best Wishes to All. I think it's a Japanese or Korean horror film. It's a Japanese film. And it's really good. It's very, it's a, It's not similar in tone to another movie I'm going to talk about, but it is a somewhat similar story to another movie I'm going to talk about, Bring Her Back. But it's similar, it's certainly not the same in tone. It has a slightly more, I guess, lighthearted tone. Almost anything could have a more lighthearted tone than Bring Her Back, but it's definitely worth checking out. And I think it's on Shudder. Saw Clown in a Cornfield. That was okay. Drop. I hated that. And then finished this morning, Woman in the Yard. This is one I think, I think if I had run out to see this when it was in the theater, which with Blumhouse, I'm a little leery nowadays, you know, which is kind of sad because they had been doing really well for a while, but lately it's hit and miss. And this one I wasn't so sure about, and I heard mixed things, so I just never saw it. And I really had no intention of watching it. And just last night I was like, well, I'll just put it on and see. And it was better than I thought. I give it 3 cuts. It's worth, it's definitely entertaining enough. There's a lot, you know, it's just tons of horror now is based on grief, and this is one of those. It's interesting. There are some creepy moments. It's definitely worth checking out. It's, I believe, only 87 minutes. Yeah, it's 87 minutes long, so it's really not, you know, it's not a huge time commitment. I think it's worth checking out. 3 cuts, it's which I consider those entertaining, not bad. You know, worth checking out, certainly as a completist for the year. And then today I had realized I had still not watched Bring Her Back. So I watched Bring Her Back today. And that one I thought was really good, very strong. It's disturbing in parts. Have you seen this one?
Bring Her Back?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my favorite movie of the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Did you talk? I don't think you talked about this before, did you?
I think we did.
Did we?
Yeah. The more I think about it, I think we talked about Bloodlines too.
Maybe you did. I mean, I hadn't seen Bloodlines and I didn't watch it until this summer. So, but yeah, you might have because it was in the theater.
Yeah.
Right. Before we left. I just don't recall.
Yeah. I thought I talked about that. I thought I talked about Clown in a Cornfield and
you did talk about Clown in a Cornfield, yeah,
and Drop. Ugly Stepsister and Drop,
and I haven't seen Ugly Stepsister yet either, but Bring Her Back I really liked. That was that's a strong one. It's there's some disturbing moments, definitely heavy, some really good gore, very practical effect gore, body horror, some, you know, kind of disturbing things. It's definitely not, you know, I don't know if I'd call it a date movie. it's heavy. It's pretty heavy.
It comes hard with both heebies and jeebies.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth the price of admission. Yeah,
yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, good movie.
I think that's it.
Yeah,
I did remember 3 more that I saw now that I've consulted Letterboxd. I watched Locked. I don't know if you could really even call that horror. Mm. It's Bill Skarsgård and Anthony Hopkins. Bill Skarsgård's like down on his luck trying to make ends meet, and he ends up breaking into this car that's owned by Anthony Hopkins, and it's like a bait car. He's got the car just rigged so that he cannot, you know, anybody that breaks into it can't get out without his say so. And he just holds him captive in this car for like days. Runs out of water, runs out of food. The car itself is really cool. It's a Dulles, D-O-L-U-S. And upon watching it and researching it, I found out completely made up car. It does not exist. They made it just for this movie.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's a like awesome luxury SUV. But it's only like an hour and a half long film. And, you know, it's all single location thing. You know, it's kind of like watching Ryan Reynolds in Buried. You know, he's just stuck in a casket the whole time. But it's like the beginning premise was kind of interesting. It held my attention for a good 40 minutes. And then you're like, okay, we got to introduce something new or I'm going to get really bored. And that's how it kind of ended for me. But that's, you know, it was a great concept, but it just trying to stretch it into an hour and a half long movie didn't cut it. On my way to New York, my wife and I both watched Death of a Unicorn, if you can call that a horror film.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
Paul Rudd, Jenna Ortega, Will Poulter, Tia Leone. God, it's just a stacked cast for a dumb film. And this was not worth... I'm glad I saw it for nothing. But no one should watch it. This is an A24 film. It was very disappointing. I can't not recommend it enough. And then I finally got to see, which I know you've already seen, I think when it came out in theaters, that Until Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the video game?
Actually, no, we saw it on video, but yeah, it was early. Okay. I think I talked about it one of the last episodes we did, yeah.
Yeah, I again, enjoyed it up to a point. I kind of wish the rules were a little bit more, better explained to you. And the loopholes, I should say. But the jump scares are good. The acting is, you know, typically what you would expect for one of these films. But it was okay. It was middle fun. Of the road. I'd give it a solid 3. So I would say if it's on, I wouldn't say, you know, obviously you can't now, but certainly don't go run out to the movie theaters and spend a lot of money on a regular ticket. But if it's on streaming, go ahead. You know, it's worth your time.
Yeah. Yeah. I put it in there with most of the other, like a lot of the
cornfield.
Yeah. Clown in the Cornfield. It's kind of like
Hard
that.
Hard Eyes.
Yeah. Hard Eyes. Final Destination. It's fun. Nothing like great to me anyway. Companion. I like Companion better than those, but yeah. But it is. It's worth checking out. I don't feel like this has been a particularly strong year so far in terms of volume of great ones. You know, I liked Sinners and Bring Her Back quite a lot, and Companion, you know, too. But so far it's been mostly kind of middle of the road movies. I feel like, but hopefully the fall really, and usually fall brings more. But I guess we'll see.
I've heard nothing but tremendous things about Together.
Yeah. I keep hearing that too. I think that's coming out this
week. Really, really want to see. Yeah. It's out.
Is it out now or is it coming out this weekend?
No, I think it's coming out this weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, what's the other one with the all the kids go missing from this one woman's class?
I know what you're talking about. It's like Warriors or something. Not Warriors, but it's I don't remember now.
Boy, we are so into horror.
we cannot get out of vacation mode is the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
kind of I will do my due diligence and make sure that we have the answer to that question before this episode ends.
And in the meantime,
or it won't end. Yeah.
There we go. Jesus Christ. Sorry, people. Things are a little rusty right now. My pick is Analog Nightmares. So all of these movies have something to do with videotape television.
Matt, stop the show. The show.
Yeah.
It's called Weapons.
Weapons. That's it.
Yes.
There you go. I know it was.
Show on.
So all of these movies have something to do with, I don't know, videos and TVs or whatever. Old school entertainment technology, I guess you could say.
They have plenty of things in common.
I guess, yeah, there are certain things. I guess, yeah, certainly there's a sexual nature to at least Evil Dead Trap and Videodrome. And not so much the other one, right? I don't think there was.
Oh, they all did.
Did they?
Yeah. The Video Dead has a rape scene on it that just keeps going.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The Video Dead has the woman coming out of, I'm mixing up my movies, the woman coming out of the television seducing Jeff.
Right, yeah.
And yeah. It's Evil Dead Trap that has the rape scene.
Yeah.
Just will not end.
That's right. The video dead, the girl comes out and seduces him. I guess they all have, they do have a lot in common. There's varying levels of quality here, obviously, but anyway, let's start off with 1988's Evil Dead Trap. And this is a Japanese horror movie directed by Toshiharu Ikeda. And his other credits are, I don't think he's got a lot. Mermaid Legend, The Key. They did, for this movie, actually, you may be surprised, Joe, they used a lot of porn stars for this, apparently, according to IMDb.
I am not surprised because I did the same research.
Yeah, did you? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one is... I guess I'll just read the little blurb here. A late night TV presenter receives a snuff tape in which a woman is brutally killed. She decides to take a crew out to a location indicated in the tape, but only death and despair await them. And this is, I had a really hard time following this movie. It's so convoluted. And I kind of, did it seem like the tape that she received, the woman in it was her? Like, wasn't it her? Like, she was saying, how did they do this?
Yes, it seemed like her, but I think it was just coincidence.
Yeah.
I don't think it was actually supposed to represent her. She just bore a striking resemblance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really didn't feel the need to spend too much time thinking about what the whys and whats of this one. I don't know. This one I didn't care for too much. I just wrote, like, I have no idea what's going on. I did think there were some creepy images. I thought that the girl kind of sort of floating down the hallway toward them, I thought that shot was kind of creepy. It did seem almost like it was all shot on video, you know, but it was so slow. Sorry. It was really slow. And
poorly lit.
Oh, poorly lit. Yes. And, you know, some of that, I it was probably the quality of whatever print they have, you know, for this now. I'm sure it's not been given much of a 4K treatment or anything. But, I mean, some of the, like Vinegar Syndrome, they put out a 4K treatment on movies way worse than this, including the severed arm.
I don't think this is going to be in your Criterion collection anytime soon.
I don't think so either. No, no.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I feel like it all builds up to a final confrontation with her and the killer that is one of the most anticlimactic things I've ever seen. There were some, I guess, moments. I don't know. I'm probably being too kind, but there were some moments of true tension, I suppose, at times. But, and then all of a sudden, there's just weird explosions. And then we wind up with a killer baby kind of thing towards the end, which was, I thought, one of the coolest parts of the whole thing. But it was like almost too little too late.
It was almost like Malignant.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
Getting very Malignant vibes.
Yeah, that's
from
true.
That Hideki was the creature baby's name.
Yeah. Which that whole last third of this movie, I mean, the whole thing is strange, but the whole last third of this movie is really freaking bizarre. And it would have been almost effective if there'd been some kind of pacing, but like she comes and confronts the guy, she's holding a gun on him. The guy is in the, whatever that hazmat kind of suit is he's wearing. And he just kind of saunters over to a chair, sits down, and they have a conversation. It's just, there's no urgency to them or to the movie at all. Like, it's just,
no,
it was just so slow. So what did you think of the Evil Dead Trap? And obviously I'm assuming that this name, you know, was because they were doing their own like Evil Dead kind of thing, I guess, but it really wasn't.
No, if that's what they were going for, they missed it by a long shot.
Yeah.
Any of the Evil Deads.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more with what you're saying about the last bit of this film. I have a note that says the last 45 minutes of this film is difficult to watch, to understand everything. Yeah.
No, totally.
There are some wonderful, though, practical effects. The knife in the eyeball scene towards the beginning is great.
Yes. Yeah.
They did some very inventive gore in this film. However, I can't say that there was enough of it to support sitting through it. And it's not even that long. It's like hour and a half, hour and 40.
Yeah, it just felt longer.
So my second note is, wow, full-blown sex scene in this one. Way to go, Matt. This was the first of the three that I watched.
Yeah.
But then, in all fairness, my next note is, my God, just rape her and kill her in the car already. This is taking forever. I know that sounds cold and heartless, but yeah, if you saw the rape scene in the car that was going on, it's like, come on, get it over with. This is more like a love story in a porno than anything.
It's all fakey and just so bizarre.
Yeah. I felt like I was the one being raped and tortured, not her. One of the notes is the cast and crew worked very long hours during the day shooting this film.
I saw that.
That was so insightful. Thanks, IMDb. I was shot on an abandoned U.S. Army airbase.
So they wasted their own time as well as ours. Is that what that's saying?
Yeah. This movie, honestly, it could have ended probably eight different times. But again, we're back into that last 45 minutes of this film. Mm. It was very confusing.
Yeah.
And to culminate to the confusion, I'm going to try to summarize the ending. Outside of the fact that when this girl finally gets rescued, of course, there's that scene the next day where she wakes up in her hospital bed and she's being interrogated by the police. This is 1988, back in the good old days when you used to be able to smoke a cigarette in your hospital bed. Which just that scene just struck me as odd. But so this woman gets back, this news reporter who goes to investigate the scene where this snuff tape supposedly happened, risks life and limb to get her story. She finally gets herself put back together enough to get on the air and give her full report of what had happened. And when the show is done filming, you know, they wrap and she goes and sits down, somebody gives her a gift. They don't know where it came from or who it was for them, but they just know it was for her. She unwraps it, and it was the lighter, the Zippo lighter that her nemesis had used a handful of times throughout the film. And she sees that, and all of a sudden she starts ripping off her clothes. And then Hideki, this Kuatu type thing, this malignant type human baby thing, just bursts out of her in flames and starts calling her mommy.
Yeah.
I watched the whole movie, but I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And I know I may have just ruined the ending for the handful of people that listen to us, but trust me, you either are going to watch it or you're not. So,
yeah.
I don't give this one high marks, Matt.
No, I don't either. No, it's not. It was not my cup of tea. Yeah. All right. Well, this one is my cup of tea. And this is let's clean things up a little. Well, not clean things up. It's sleazy. But let's add a little prestige to the mix. In 1983, David Cronenberg made a movie called Videodrome.
Oh,
and this one starring James Woods, Debbie Harry, Sonia Smits, Julie Kainer, Connor. Of course, it's a David Cronenberg movie, which a lot of his movies have to do with, I guess, technology and humanity merging. A lot of his movies have something to do with like humans evolving, right, and evolving into technology, and it's a very, very, you know, frequent theme of his. And this is, this is typical of that. I had seen this one before, obviously, and but I hadn't seen it in quite some time. So it was great to, you know, kind of look back on this, and it's a good movie. I really like this thing. It's weird as all hell, but it's really well done. I like the, Debbie Harry's character. I thought she's very unusual, especially for a female character at the time. She was interesting. There was an edge to her, that, you know, is not typical. I mean, I guess she's obviously sexualized, but still. I did see on IMDb that the trailer, the majority of the trailer was created with a Commodore 64 computer.
It certainly was.
I don't even know how they were able to do that with that thing. Let's see. Yeah, and she, Debbie Harry, of course, dyed her hair. She's normally a signature blonde. She dyed it red for this movie. Andy Warhol called this movie A Clockwork Orange of the 1980s. Not too shabby. Joe, what did you think of Videodrome? Had you seen this one before? And
I had never seen it before. Yeah, yeah. I had heard about it. I remember seeing it on the video shelves as a kid. Mm-hmm. So I will say I'm kind of glad that I can finally say, yeah, I've seen Videodrome. I will say right off the bat, I'm surprised Debbie Harry didn't do more acting. I thought she was very natural. I thought mm-hmm. she was very good. I don't know that I necessarily care for the character that was written for her. Mm. I don't think we get a whole lot of backstory to justify how or why she's such, why she's so drawn to being such a wild person. You know, first date.
Yeah,
she's over at James Woods' house and she's rummaging through his videotapes looking for porn.
Right.
And she's like, because it gets me in the mood.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, it's going to be that kind of evening, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and then upon seeing this Videodrome footage, which is just sexual torture, she's just like kicking her heels up going, sign me up. I can't wait. Let me figure out how to get there. So I guess I would have just liked to have her introduced a little bit more detailed, you know, as to sort of justify why she is the way she is. However, that being said, like I stated earlier, she was fantastic in her role. One other movie I would like to compare this to actually is Hellraiser, because I would have liked to have seen sort of a crossover between James Woods' characters and, what was it? Uncle Frank. Mm. So in Hellraiser, there was that character that we barely are introduced to, Uncle Frank, who goes around the world exploring pain and pleasure. And then eventually tries to hide from the Cenobites. Mm-hmm. That's like, I could see James Woods' character evolving into that.
Mm. Yeah.
I know it doesn't exist, but I just thought that would have been a nice lead up to or crossover or whatever. Again, my compliments to Matt, 3 minutes and 19 seconds before our first boob sighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. There's some practical effects in this movie that I'm sort of debating my opinion on them. Some of them I thought were good. Some of them were hokey at best. There's a point where James Woods' stomach like splits open and he's hiding his revolver in there.
Yeah.
Like the first time I saw that, that was pretty cool. I dug that. That was neat. But eventually when his hand and his gun merge into this giant clump of skin that shoots bullets, that was weak to me.
Oh, I liked that one. I mean, when it first started merging, it looked like a glove. Cool. No, I thought it was a glove, but I liked it once it was fully formed. I liked that piece.
See, and that's where I'm the opposite. I liked it when those like metal rods started melding like through his hand.
No, I meant like very first when it first it almost looked like they had a glove on his hand that they were making to look like skin just briefly.
Yeah.
But after that, I liked the final merge too. It was slimy looking and everything. Almost looked like a penis. Like a penis without skin or something.
No. words I never thought we'd say on the show. So every time I'm going to say this anyway, because you'll at least get the joke. You'll appreciate the joke. Every time James Woods woke up from one of his hallucinations, he looked so disheveled and out of it. All I could think of was the phrase, "You could use a cup of my Java."
Yeah.
Yeah, I also I thought it was weird too, that hole in his stomach. Like, it seems like it's a pocket, like he can just hold his gun in there for a while and then pull it out later. But then later on, there's that video pirate friend of his that puts this like meaty, fleshy video cassette into his stomach against his will, and his stomach bites the guy's arm off.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know it could do that, but that was interesting. I loved that trade show, the eyeglasses trade show. Why this guy was like an optometrist or modeled eyeglasses or something is beyond me. But the dance scene at the trade show was spectacular. And then, of course, killing that guy at the trade show. That was some wonderful practical effects. I really enjoyed that. As a matter of fact, rewound it, watched it again.
You go to a lot of trade shows where there's dancing girls and stuff too. It's kind of funny.
Well, they started off as like madrigal, like jesters and stuff. And the next thing I know, they're in like sparkly leotards and guys with tons of chest hair. And it's just weird.
Yeah.
And I will say it did finally answer a question that I had. Do you remember in the, God, I guess it'd be early 90s, late 80s, there was a band called EMF did song Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were like me, one of the thousands of people that bought their album, the first song on that CD is called Children. And I listened to it hundreds of times, I'm sure, while playing that disc in my college years. And in that movie, they sample the phrase "Long live the new flesh." And I had never known it was from this movie until this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was out of the three movies, this was hands down my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll ever want to watch it again, but I can appreciate the special. It's definitely Cronenberg, like hands down. This got his signature all over it. But the practical effects were just, they were a riot. I loved them.
Yeah.
So
I did too. Rick Baker did the practical effects.
Oh, okay.
And he his original concept for Max's flesh gun included lips and a foreskin.
Wow.
But David Cronenberg felt it was simply too graphic. He had $500,000.
That's what they decided to cut out?
Yeah. $500,000 makeup budget, but Rick Baker, he only had 2 months to prepare all the prosthetics. But this was his, it was a $6 million budget, which was $3 million more than Scanners, but it did not make its money back. So it's not surprising. This is not one that was probably going to, you know, bowl people over at the Cineplex in the 1980s. But all right, so moving on.
Unlike our last film.
Yeah. This movie, I'm sure it made tons of movie money. this one is, hold on now. This one is, I can't remember what year this is.
1987.
Is it 87? Okay, yeah. 1987.
It should have been better. It was in 1987. It's not like they were working with, you know, old technology. Not
from the 60s or something, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think they had a very big budget, I'm sure.
It was $80,000.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's all 80, on that screen.
Holy crap.
80,000. Yeah.
The Video Dead. This is from 1987. And I really enjoyed this one, actually. It's a lot of fun. I thought that this one would be perfect for riff tracks. But I agree. Know, this director, Robert Scott, also directed Dracula Dead and Loving It. Oh, boy. Which should not be a surprise to anybody. He's also done a lot of other TV shows and movies as an assistant director, but I think as the main director,
Dracula Dead Loving It.
He's only done a few, but he was second unit assistant director on Dracula Dead and Loving It. So sorry, I guess he wasn't the director of that. So yeah, this one is starring. Well, these names have to be on the tops of everyone's minds. I can't imagine nobody knows these people. Michael St. James, Thaddeus Golis, Douglas Bell, Al Millen, Roxana Augson. Rocky Duvall is Jeff Blair. Rocky Duvall is, Joe, if you give me a TV that looks like that, I'm putting it by the curb. This guy, at the beginning of this, I guess I'll read the blurb. A family takes delivery of a new television set, unaware that is the gate that it is the gateway by which killer zombies enter the world. So that's a pretty easy, like, pitch, you know. Guy gets a TV set that's a conduit for killer zombies. Oh, okay. Yeah. They just basically move. I mean, this is before The Ring, Joe.
I kind of figured that that was like what the director said on the first day of filming, and then followed by the words "and go."
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, if I get a TV in the mail that looks like that, I'm just setting it by the curb. That did not look like some, you know, it should have been like a brand new TV or something like that, you know. But I guess I understand why not.
Well, would you have taken that TV if you had not ordered it?
Well, no, I probably I'd get a TV that I didn't order.
You didn't even know it was a TV.
Well, that's true.
It was in this giant crate. Some guy wakes me up out of my drunken stupor and says, "You got a delivery." Well, I didn't order that.
Well, I mean, if I got a delivery, I might assume that somebody sent me something, or I did order something. I forgot about it.
This must be the TV that's the portal to the other world that I ordered.
When I saw that it was a TV, I'd be like, well, wait a minute. I didn't order a TV. Yeah. I would call somebody. Amazon, what the hell? But I do like the delivery guys when they came back the next day to pick it up. I don't know why. Why did they come back the next day? He must have called.
Well, because they found out that they had misdelivered it.
Misdelivered. That's right. Yes. But one of the guys says, you know, they're ringing the doorbell or whatever. And the other guy, he says, "We're supposed to be running a delivery service, not a wake up service." That was quite a line.
Shakespeare.
Sick burn. And then the little brother, the Rocky Duvall, played by Jeff Blair. I think it's her brother, right? They have different Rocky names. Yeah. Rocky
Duvall.
Yeah. It's a brother, but they're
brother, sister,
but the characters have different names. I don't know. Maybe they had different.
You're two in the woods.
Yeah. So why is the little brother dirty like a zombie? Like they do this scene where we think a zombie is coming into the house. He even destroys a realtor sign. He comes walking up to the house, and it's really just a gimmick, a fake gimmick. Like we get faked out. We think of zombies coming to attack this girl. It turns out it's just his brother. But then why did he destroy the realtor sign? You know, and
because they're all snips and snails and puppy dog tails.
I guess so.
And you know what, man? I actually thought it was clever because it was so clever. Edgar Wright did it in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Well, when Sean wakes up in the morning and all you see is his bare feet like stumbling in, and you hear, all of a sudden they pan up and it's Sean yawning.
But he didn't destroy something in the house to make us faked out.
True. True. Touche.
It's time for him to change that shirt. He had a shirt that I actually was pretty cool. Twist. It was a twist and not twist and shout, twist and something. I can't remember, but it was a cool 80s shirt, but he wore it every day and it was dirty as hell.
Maybe that's why he's so dirty. He just never changes his clothes.
And the girl hates her own poodle. She had a dog and she was like, I don't like poodles either. You know? Let's see. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a girl that comes out of the TV and starts seducing the kid, right? And her
character name is The Woman.
The Woman. Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
The Woman, she's got her hair perfectly placed over her breasts, you know, but you can see the tape. Like there are a couple shots where the hair moves and you can see the tape under there.
Yeah, I'm looking at IMDb right now. Her name is Jennifer Miro, and she plays The Woman.
Yeah. What a character. But the kid, though, he's a Piscati character, right? Like, yeah. like this is the kid. This Mark would come away from this movie saying that kid was great. That's like my yeah. favorite character.
Jamie Kennedy should play him in the remake.
Yeah.
And actually, Matt, they do have the same name.
They do?
Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, Rocky Duvall's character is Jeff Blair, and his sister's name is Zoe Blair.
His sister's name is Zoe Blair?
Yeah.
Because I see it's April. I don't know. Because the girl, she was the one who was brushing her teeth. On IMDb, it's not showing that as the name.
Roxana Ogson plays Zoe Blair. I'm on IMDb right now.
Oh, I see. Okay. Who's the girl that was brushing her teeth?
That's Victoria Bastel. That's April Ellison.
Oh, that's the girlfriend. That's right. Yeah. Because that toothbrushing scene was riveting.
Very in depth. She got all the way back into those molars.
Yeah, she was really digging in there. It was very strange.
I think that was the scene they forgot they were still filming.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I love the kid gets the way he gets axed or gets killed with the chainsaw. He goes over to, you know, if you step over to chop to hit somebody in the head who's holding a chainsaw, it's probably best not to walk directly in front of them to do that. Like where the walking into the chainsaw is kind of, you know, that's your fault. Like the guy,
I think I would rule that. That should be ruled a suicide, not a murder.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that would, it seems pretty common sense that you don't walk straight into a running chainsaw.
Yeah.
Or at least I wouldn't. That's just me. So, Joe, what did you think of the video, Dad?
I had a question. Let's just start right off at the beginning because there's so many questions. So, Mr. Jordan, the guy who started this all by receiving this crate that's delivered to him that shouldn't have been, he unboxes, it's a TV, he can't turn the TV off. The zombies start coming out, turn him into a zombie. The delivery guys show up the next day to take the television back. And he finally comes to the door, Mr. Jordan, he's wearing a party hat. What? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like a pointed party hat, like a,
I don't know.
That was bizarre.
Yeah.
The dog that Victoria Bastel, or April, as we call her in the film.
Yeah.
The dog's actual name is called Bachelor, but they changed it in the film to Chocolate. So now I've got two kids running around the woods screaming the word chocolate at the top of their lungs, looking for their lost dog. And then, of course, the scene that we mentioned, which I absolutely love, Jeff is sitting there. By the way, Jeff played by Rocky Duvall. Rocky Duvall was 16 years old when he was cast in this film. Now, he was still in high school, and his theater teacher flat out told him, "You are not right for this film. You are not good enough to be in this film."
Oh, wow.
When they found out they were doing open casting. Then the day of, the theater teacher decides to take Rocky Duvall and a handful of his other classmates and brings them to the set to audition. And sure enough, Rocky gets it.
Wow.
To prove his theater teacher. They don't know what they're talking about. Rocky was a genius.
Yeah, he was quite a genius in this.
No previous acting experience outside of high school.
I thought I was watching Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. So then one of my favorite scenes is, so Jeff is just laying there on his bed in his parents' house, which they're not there because they apparently travel around the globe and leave the kids to fend for themselves quite often, to the point where they're like upset with their own parents about it. But he's sitting there watching this TV, and then all of a sudden the woman, this naked woman with hair over her boobs, crawls out of the TV to seduce him.
Yeah.
Gives him giant blue balls, and then back into the TV she goes.
Yeah. Well, and then the guy who helps them was on the TV too.
Yeah.
How did he get on the TV and in the
I room? Don't know.
He didn't come out of the TV. So how did that happen?
Some of the some of the ADR in this film, this is that $80,000 budget. So Rocky has to go, or I guess I should call him Jeff, the teenage boy, the TV is downstairs in the basement, and he's got to get a mirror to place in front of it to keep the zombies from coming out. He had just woken up from his blue bald episode the night before, and he's wearing,
by the way, he was 16 years old when he kissed that woman, woman, and she's naked.
Oh, she was like going to town on him too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, he's in his boxer shorts and a pair of socks walking down the stairs with the television. Then as he climbs back up the stairs, it sounds like he's wearing cowboy boots, still in socks. And then same thing on the way back down, you hear like clunk, 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 clunk. And I'm watching his feet. I'm like, that's not the sound socks would make.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I found puzzling is that it seemed like these zombies, like it was inconsistent about how you kill them. Like most of the time in a zombie movie, you hit him in the brains and that's it. In this one,
yeah,
she hits him. She hits the zombie. She takes an iron, the girl, she hits him in the head and it lodges into his brain. Yeah. It like breaks his skull and lodges into his brain. He still keeps going throughout the rest of the movie. Whereas the others, they get shot a couple times in the stomach and they're dead. It didn't make sense.
And one of the zombies, they eventually break in the girlfriend's house, April, the girl with the dog that died. The zombies break into her parents' house, kills her mother by strangling her only in the hallway, which again took forever.
Oh, forever. Yeah.
And was absolutely hilarious. You could tell there was no like grip strength in that zombie's hand or on her neck at all. And she just kept moaning and moaning and moaning. It was more like a sex scene than anything. It's like, it should have been part of Videodrome. And so the ending of this film, again, very perplexing. So Zoe decides the way she's going to defeat them is to kill them with kindness. And she invites them into her house and starts feeding them dog food from a can and notes that this recipe has been in her family for generations.
Right. And why are they all of a sudden not really interested in killing her anymore? And they are okay with going downstairs and dancing? Like, what's the...
I guess no one's ever been nice to them before.
Yeah, maybe.
But then, you know, she goes nuts. She's back in the hospital. You can't smoke in that hospital bed, apparently, though.
Yeah.
But her parents do come to visit for all of 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, they zip in, they drop off irony, and then they leave. They, of course, bring her.
I mean, she's like a teenager, and they're old. Like, her parents like look 70. Like they're like in their 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. And they, we're just here to drop off that favorite TV that you kids are loving these days.
Right.
Here you go. Wah, wah.
Which didn't make sense either, because they show them walking down the hall like they had just arrived and they don't have the TV with them.
Yeah.
And then they step out and roll in a TV. Like, where did the did they come there earlier to set up this surprise for us, the audience? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not done well.
No, no.
Not a cohesive film.
But it was fun. This was one that was one of those 80s movies that, you know, I was like, you know what? This is a kind of a fun little gem. If you're looking for a bad B movie, but one that's watchable and fun, this is, you know, this is definitely up there. Especially
riff tracks, yeah.
Definitely a riff tracks if you're into 80s B movies that are fun, not just bad, you know.
If I was in high school having like a sleepover, staying up late, trying to watch something, this would have been hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
My friends and I would have loved this.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. All right. Well, that's the smattering of applause for these three movies. And that is Analog Nightmares. Joe, your pick is next. So, what in God's name is it? And are we making the mistake of asking Mark to come back again, or what are we doing?
I don't know. I guess everyone will have to wait until next episode to find out. But
we'll all be waiting with bated breath.
But here, I wanna set up my pick.
All right.
So I'm gonna list off some people that are in these films. And this is when I read them off, you'll be very impressed. So to start off, and they'll get better, but Jack Albertson, who you may know better as Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he's in one. Melody Anderson, who was Dale Arden from Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a name you might recognize. Robert Englund.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to keep going. Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Donald Pleasance.
Wow.
It gets better. Dennis Quaid. Max von Sydow. Christopher Plummer. George Wendt.
Huh.
Now, you're probably thinking there's no way this cast of characters could exist in three films.
Yeah.
I found them.
All right.
So the first thing we're going to watch is called Phenomena from Tubi, 1985. This is a young girl who has amazing ability to communicate with insects is transferred to an exclusive Swiss boarding school where her unusual capabilities might help solve a string of murders.
Phenomena.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen this one, right?
We have not seen this one.
Okay.
I've never seen a film where a girl can talk to insects and because of that gets transferred to a Swiss boarding school to help solve crimes.
Yeah. And this one actually also has another title, ulterior title called Creepers, and it's directed by Dario Argento.
Yes. Sorry. Forgot to mention that. Yes. I have that down. Okay. The next one we're going to watch is called Dreamscape from 1984.
And what is Phenomena on?
Tubi and Pluto. Tubi. Yes.
Okay. Oh, AMC Plus as well.
Okay. Next thing is Dreamscape from 1984, which is also on Tubi and on Peacock. And that's about a man who can enter and manipulate people's dreams. He is recruited by a government agency to help cure the president of the United States of his nightmares about nuclear war and stumbles upon an assassination plot.
Oh, the cover of this looks a whole lot like a ripoff of Indiana Jones or Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, Dreamscape.
Yeah. If you look at the cover, it looks like it's a ripoff of the cover of Raiders of the Lost Ark or one of the Indiana Jones.
But I'm sure the plot is totally original.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, okay. And then last but not least, we're going to watch Dead and Buried from 1981. That is also on Tubi and Pluto.
I've seen this one a few times. It's a very interesting movie. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen any of them. So my theme is just simply 80s sci-fi horror.
Oh, okay.
So
nice.
But yeah, these seem intriguing to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've not seen two of them. So yeah, that's good. Dead and Buried is one that actually I when I saw it as a kid, it really disturbed me, like greatly disturbed me when I was a kid. I probably saw this too young. I was like 9, maybe something like that. And there was a certain scene that really freaked me out. But it doesn't now. But when I was a kid, it definitely did. And I'll tell you which one next time. So, all right.
Oh yeah, that's totally Indiana Jones. That cover.
Yeah, totally that cover. Yeah, or the poster.
Yeah,
he's even wearing like the jacket.
I can't tell
what looks like it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I had to blow it up. I thought he was wearing a fedora too. Turns out that's just his hair.
It's his hair. Yeah, but the jacket looks like Indiana Jones' jacket. Yeah,
that's
it's the same coloring.
Yeah,
there's like a snake wrapping around it. Yeah,
yeah, I hate snakes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, all right.
That's Temple of Doom, especially with that Temple red-faced guy in the background.
Yep. Yeah, 100% Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now yet another reason to watch this film.
Yeah. A lot of guys with guns and
snakes, women, motorcycles. Oh, nunchucks. There's a guy with nunchucks on the cover.
and a guy is like swinging on one of those beams that they do for like high rise constructions.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. Okay. Couple of wolves. All right. Well, that'll be next time. So in the meantime, please go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy a t-shirt. We've got lots of t-shirts for your fandom. And also, once again, on August 15th, which is not this weekend, but the following weekend, come to Midsummer Scream. It's a great horror convention and Halloween convention. There's lots of stuff to buy, lots of people to see, and come and see our the premiere, or it's not the premiere. Well, I guess the premiere was a few months ago, but come and see our screening of On Halloween Night. And if you get the chance, also go to the Sugar Mint Gallery in Pasadena and see my wife's Michelle speak her art that's there. All right. Well, I guess we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Some senseless girl.